tell you, we've been worshiping for about 2 hours, and we are ready to go. Y'all, can you just give this team a little bit of this? I am so grateful, so super grateful that they showed up and just ready to worship with the most beautiful hearts. So, God, I thank you for today. Be glorified in our worship. God, we just give it all to you. It's all for you. We thank you what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do. But God, more than that, just who you are. In your mighty name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you.
We thank you that you are already here. You are already here with anticipation of your children filling this place. So as we lift up your name, Lord, I just pray that you would do what you do. Just fill up this space. Fill up our hearts. All the spaces and holes that need filling, God. Do your work. As we lean on you, trust in you. 'Cause you are the medicine, the only cure for everything I feel within, redeeming what was lost in all that could have been. Oh, this is a healing kind of love. Yes, you are our healer, God. You are the truest friend, staying through the night. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. is pure. Pastor Brandon comes.
Says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. As we continue to worship, and I'm going to call the ushers forward for our giving moment as part of our worship, I was thinking about that. The Lord watches over the path of the godly. Like, you know, sometimes when you feel that, I don't know, that twist in you, maybe you said something or did something that maybe you may need to make amends, or you need to, and you're like, and it's bothersome. It's bothersome. Well, that's God watching your path. That's God saying, okay, hey, let's listen to that. Let's say sorry. Let's bend back towards him, like we talked about a little bit last week. Our natural tendency is to bend towards ourselves and just do what we want to do all the time. But if we'll listen and we'll focus on the Lord, he'll watch over our path. Not that he's down on you getting to do some of the things that you want to do. He's not down on fun. He's not down on the goals and accomplishments that you want in your life, but that he cares for you and he loves you. And if we'll turn our ear towards him in worship and in prayer and in giving and in the way that we live our lives, he'll watch over our path, a path that leads to life, everlasting life, and not destruction. And so when you get those pesky thoughts or those, twists, did I do this wrong? Don't ignore it. Just say, thank you, God, for watching my path. What do I need to do? Thank you, God, for watching over me. What do I need to do? And he'll help you with it. And he'll help you with it. Just surrender to him in that moment. Amen. Let's pray, and we'll go into one more song and worship as we give. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Help us to incline our ears to you and your ways. We do want to prosper in all that we do. We do want to be like that tree that's planted by the riverside, that bears its fruit in season. That even when difficult times come, we have our roots deep to secure us. You love us, God. You're not against us. You're not down on us. Help us to listen to your voice. Incline our ear to your ways. Help us to meditate on you and your ways and your law day and night.
Yes, Lord.
We love you, God, and we continue to worship you today. Amen.
And not only when you cry out to the Lord and say, okay, God, here I am. What do I do? Trust that it's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. He will walk with you. He will talk with you. Lean into him. And the big things, the little things, whatever it is, not only will he help you, he will never fail you. He will never leave you. It's not in his nature. You cry out to him, and it's as good as done. He will help you. We're going to introduce a new song. It's probably not new to most of you, but it's new to the stage this morning. So be blessed by this one. Everything around me is shaken.
Amen, amen. No, he won't. No, he won't. No, he won't. He won't fail. Amen, amen.
He won't fail. He won't fail. Thank you, Father God, that you won't fail. You'll never leave. You'll never forsake. You won't fail us. We love you, God. Your names, you're a healer, you're a provider, you're a rock, you're a fortress, you're a banner, you're a firm foundation. We remind ourselves of the goodness of God as we worship you and turn ourselves back towards you and look towards you and think about you and honor you this morning. We love you, God. We worship you. Amen.
Amen,
amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, go for it. Don't hold back. Give him a hand clap of praise. He will not fail you. Why don't you give somebody a handshake or a fist bump and say, he won't fail you. If you don't know their name, say hello. He's a good God. Welcome to church, everybody. Well, welcome to the building. You are the church, right? Amen. We come to remind ourselves of God's goodness. We also come to remind ourselves that we're not alone. You're not alone. And if you're online, you're not alone. You have a church body that's here that believes that God is able, no matter the situation. And we want to encourage you in whatever your plight is, whatever it's going on in your life. Just being here together and being together online helps us be encouraged and helps us remember the goodness of God and that we're not alone. Amen. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for braving the cold weather and coming on out. We're happy that you're here. You can fill out a guest form if you want to. Let us know that you're here. We love to kind of reach out and let you know who we are and what we're about. And also, as a new person, our next kind of steps, your next thing that you can do to find out more about the church is our next steps class, or our start here class. And it happens every second Sunday of the month. It happened this morning, so it'll happen again in February coming up. But we're in a series too that kind of explains who we are and what we're about and what we're going to do. So over the next couple of weeks, as Pastor Corey encouraged, let's together determine to be here for the next couple of months. So with that, I think we have a couple of announcements on the announcement video. And again, if you're a guest, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. We hope you hang out a little bit afterwards so we can get to know you some. There'll be some people down front and people out at the New Here table where there's a gift for you as well. We'd love to know your name and hear about you. So please stick around afterwards.
What's up, Sea of Paris? I'm so glad you came out on this cold day to worship with us. I hope everyone's staying warm. I've got a handful of announcements for you. First up, guys, next Sunday, we are having a Next Gen training. Next Gen Ministry is Next Generation. So that is CF Littles, CF Kids, and CF Students. Basically, birth through 18. So if you are currently volunteering in one of those ministries, please come out. Brandon has an awesome training planned. There's going to be lunch. We'll feed you guys. And if you're interested in volunteering and serving in one of those ministries, this is the perfect time to come. See what it's about, hear the heart, and meet some people who are currently serving. So put that on your calendars next Sunday. Please RSVP, either let Pastor Brandon or myself know so we make sure we have enough food. Okay, next up, guys, our MOPS ministry is starting again. It meets the first and third Fridays of the month. It's MOPS stands for Mothers of Preschoolers. So it's for moms with young ones at home to get to meet, get out of house. We have childcare. And the moms get to meet and have an incredible time. We've had a great fall semester, but it is not too late to jump in this spring winter semester. So this Friday, 9/11, right here at the church, if you're interested and that fits you. All right, guys, I announced it last week, but our 3x3s are starting. This is similar to our women's 4x4 groups, but it's three couples that meets three times over the course of 3 months. So if you're interested in that, please go sign up in the lobby. There's little cards out there. Talk to Tracy. And then women, we have two events coming up to get on your calendar. The first is Living in the Moment. It is January 29th, 6 to 7:30, right here at the church. Robin Daniels is going to be talking, and it is going to be amazing. So please let Tracy know you're coming. Just show up January 29th, 6 to 7:30. That is a free event. And then save the date. We are having a Woman of Influence Conference February 23rd and 24th. So save the date, ladies. Lots and lots of information. Go check the table out in the front if you have any questions, because there's a lot going on. Stay tuned to our Facebook. Join our women's Facebook group, because that's where we post a lot of information. So check it out. I think that's it, guys. Pastor Greg is coming up. Bye.
Robin, I think there was more excitement for you than there was for me. As it should have been. All right, I have a few things I want to talk about before we get started this morning, since the women were adequately promoted by the video. Men, if you're between the ages of 18 and 108 and are experiencing recurring symptoms like waking up in the morning, breathing all day, or getting hungry, you should try men's ministry. All right? I'm excited. We've had some men's studies going on for a long time, but we have four events on the calendar. We have things farther out on the calendar than the women do this year, okay? All right, and we're very excited about what's going on. And so, guys, I want you to know, in addition to getting plugged in with the regular studies that we've got, I was talking to some guys this morning. You know, if we have interest, we've got two solid groups of men that have been meeting for a long time. And honestly, we'll just be honest, guys, sometimes as us fellas, it's hard to jump into a group that's been going for a while. So, hey, if we got some guys that are interested in a new group and a new time, and we want to put together a new group, and you want to be part of getting that started, let's do that. Let's get that started. But we really want to get the men of the church engaged, help us get to know one another as well. We do it differently from the ladies, and that's okay. That's okay. We want to do it. One of the things we're going to do that I'm really excited about coming up soon is the chili supper, okay? I want to be sure that if you don't know about that, guys, that you are signed up for that. Because I want to eat lots of chili that night. And so it's going to be a great event that we're going to do. You can either sign up to bring a pot of chili for the chili contest, and we'll all enjoy that together that night. Or if you don't want to cook a pot of chili, we're also going to be supporting a great ministry here in town, Impact Paris. And so you can bring a canned good to share, and that can be your admission price. But really, it's going to be a great time for us as men to do what we do best, get together and eat, okay? That's what we do, all right? Nobody does it better than us. It's gonna be a great night, so please, there's a sign-up table for that in the lobby. If you haven't signed up, please sign up, okay? It's a great chance just to get to know other guys in the church and eat a good meal or two or three that night, and it's gonna be a blast. So men, get plugged in. Last thing I want to promote is this. My good friend, Coach Mike Long, some of you may know Coach. He has been instrumental in our community for a number of years now with the Prayers for Students movement. If you've been praying for a high school student, or now we're praying for elementary schools as well, if you've been part of that, then you've been a part of what Mike has had on his heart so much to cover the students and the schools of our county in prayer. Mike is such a prayer warrior and such a man of God. He and I really got started on Common Table together. He's a retired gentleman, and I cannot keep up with Mike. He is the fastest moving, getting around in the community, encouraging people, praying guy. He's a wonderful man of God, and he is starting a class. It's going to run for 4 weeks on prayer, because he feels a burden in his heart for us as a community, as a whole community, to come together and to learn more about becoming the prayers that we need to be for our community. And so this is a community-wide class that he's doing. It's going to take place at his church, at Christ Community Church. It starts this week on Thursday. He's going to do the same class. There's going to be a morning slot and an evening slot. It's just the time to come together and learn and grow about prayer with other believers. And so if you're interested in that, there's no registration, there's no sign up, there's just a you go to class, all right? There are some flyers that were made that look like they were not made by a cool lady with blue hair, but by a guy with gray in his dark hair. And I have some up here, and there are some on the back. So if you're interested in learning about Mike's class, and if you'd like to go, come grab a flyer and get the info and go be a part of that. It's going to be great. Last and not least, those of you who are here this morning who have a chair to sit in or enjoyed a hot cup of coffee or got a smile at the door this morning, let's please be sure to thank those people that made that happen for us today. All right? Especially those door greeters outside. And nobody was up here earlier than the chair crew except the Holy Spirit. So these guys there, one of them was even up here last night lining out the chairs for his team this morning because he couldn't be here this morning. And so that's the kind of dedication that these folks have, and we appreciate them very much. Okay, last week, Pastor Corey began a new series with the goal of all of us to dive into God's Word together this year and determine a course of action for our lives, both as CF Paris, that is for this congregation, this particular body of believers that's decided to worship and walk and grow in Christ together. Thank you also, by the way, for those of you who braved the cold to come out this morning. It's good to see all of you here. So determine a course of action for us as a church, but also a course of action that applies to each of our lives individually and generally as believers in the whole body of Christ. As Corey said, your decisions will directly affect your life's direction, and your direction will then affect you reaching a destination. And that's certainly also both true for all of us as individuals and also together as a church body here at CF. Decisions determine destiny, right? Now, free tip on the side for those of you who, like myself, who are endeavoring to eat healthier again this year, decisions also determine density, okay? It's a little Back to the Future humor for those of you who know, right? The mission that Jesus gave to every one of his followers is the same. It's a great commission found in Matthew 28, where we read this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age," or as my favorite translation says it, till the job is done, right? Our mission here at CF Paris is to inspire others to believe and live like the gospel changes everything. We want to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus as a church body by determining to live lives as his disciples that give clear and compelling evidence that his gospel has changed and is still changing us day by day, to speak words and to live lives that draw others to do the same. Amen. Right? But how do we go about that together, and what exactly do we mean when we say the gospel changes everything? This week I'm focusing on a couple of our core values here at CF that are essential in helping us determine who we are as a church. It's how we believe and live like the gospel changes everything, so that by God's grace, others might be inspired to do the same. These values are meant to be a key part of our particular church culture. So in some ways, this is kind of like a CF Paris family meeting today. But there are also values that we believe should be reflective of Christ's followers in general, no matter where you choose to worship and grow with other believers. I do want to make a few points up front before we dig in together today, though, okay? First of all, we are very blessed to have a wide variety of church background and experiences here as part of CF, and that's a beautiful thing, because it can help us all see God in new ways. But depending on your background, as you listen today, it's possible that you may not agree fully or at all with something that's presented. And I want you to know that that's okay. Tension is a healthy part of growth, whether you're growing physically or intellectually or spiritually. Jesus taught on purpose in a way that most often made people have to think and have to wrestle with the truths he presented. A few years ago, I found myself struggling terribly with how I could balance my own traditional biblical theology personally on marriage and sexuality with being able to genuinely love people whose lives didn't agree with that theology, you know, and to love them just like I believe that Jesus would. And I fought with that question, and I prayed for God to give me a simple answer for a while, until God in his grace and wisdom showed me that the tension that I was feeling between those two desires was keeping me exactly where he wanted me to be, with a real concern for truth consistently pulling me one way, and an equal concern for God's love consistently pulling me the other way. That tension holds me right in the center so that I don't forsake one for the other. So don't be afraid of feeling some spiritual tension. Dig into the Bible, pray, and discuss it with mature believers that you trust to help you see what God is showing you to help you grow more in him, okay? All right, let's talk about some values. If you've been around CF for very long, you've most likely heard us use the phrase belong, believe, become is an easy way to remember these values of our church. And from the beginning, this has been an intentional plan to reverse or avoid or sometimes even heal the common experience that many people told us they had in a previous church where the idea was behave, believe, belong, all right? That sentiment was that as long as you behave the right way and you believe the right way, then you can belong with us and be accepted here. It reminds me of the kind of experience Jesus had with the established religious culture of the Pharisees and the Sadducees when we read through the Gospels, right? Hey, Jesus, why don't your disciples wash their hands? Jesus, why are you healing on the Sabbath? Why are you hanging out with those people? We don't think you're going to fit in here, Jesus. And in fact, we're going to make sure that you don't. But if Jesus had even the slightest inclination to follow the Pharisees' standards of who belonged and who didn't, he definitely wouldn't have chosen a group of disciples that welcomed uneducated, smelly fishermen like Peter and Andrew and murderous religious fanatics like Simon the Zealot and Jewish traitors like Matthew, who stole from their own people while taxing them for Rome. In Matthew chapter 9, the gospel writer tells the story of how he himself met Jesus. Matthew 9, verse 9, he writes, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, that's a great jump, follow me. Next scene, I'm having dinner at your house. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Stop for a moment and think about what that scene, that moment meant to the sinners and the tax collectors that were there eating with Jesus. And then stop and think for a minute about what that meant for the disciples that were there following Jesus. Matthew goes on and says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. If Jesus is calling sinners, then we shouldn't be shocked or appalled when some of them show up, should we? In his book called How to Know a Person, author David Brooks tells a story about a man known as Pastor Jimmy, who started a church for the homeless living under an overpass in his city, and he serves these neighbors from his home nearby. Brooks writes this about Jimmy. When Jimmy sees a person, any person, he is seeing a creature who was made in the image of God. As he looks into each face, he is looking at least a bit into the face of God. When Jimmy sees a person, any person, he is also seeing a creature endowed with an immortal soul, a soul of infinite value and dignity. When Jimmy greets a person, he's also trying to live up to one of the great callings of his faith. He is trying to see that person the way Jesus would see that person. He's trying to see them with Jesus' eyes that lavish love on the meek and lowly, the marginalized and those in pain, and on every living person. At CF Paris, our core value of belong calls us to determine to try to see every person the way Jesus would see them. Whether they're walking in the front doors here on a Sunday morning, or you encounter them out there on the street or at the store or maybe even at your door during the week. Belong means that all of us and each of us make it important that there is a genuine sense of welcome for every person. The same sense of welcome and acceptance that every person he spent time with felt from Jesus. We want everyone to feel like they belong here at CF. And our ultimate desire, of course, is for everyone here to belong to the family of God. All right? Now, if you know me very well at all, and some of you do, then you know that I am a bit of a word snob. And by bit, I mean I'm a huge word snob. Okay? Finding the right words is important, and understanding words rightly is also important. For instance, the Greek language has at least three different words to describe three distinctly different kinds of love. English has one. I love my wife. I love tacos. And I love good books. Right? Same word. Hopefully you didn't think I meant the same thing in every circumstance, right? Belong is another English word that could have more than one connotation. So let's ask some questions to help us all clearly understand our value. First, does belong mean that we want to purpose together to make everyone here feel welcome and accepted and loved by God and by God's people? Yes. Yes, it does. Thank you. Is that my scratchy beard doing that? Beards, man. All right. Good. You did great. You did great on that one. Number two, does welcoming everyone mean that you or that we as a church affirm every choice, relationship, or lifestyle they may have as acceptable according to Scripture? No. Good. Every thief, every prostitute, every tax collector, every criminal, every interested person that spent time with Jesus felt welcomed and accepted and loved by him. That's pretty plain to see in the Gospels, I think, since these people were constantly flocking to spend time with Jesus. But you will never find an example where Jesus condoned anything the Bible calls sin, or indicated that it was acceptable to continue living just as they had been. I think the incident with the woman caught in adultery gives us a tremendously vital insight about how Jesus loves sinners without affirming sin. John 8, verse 1, you can just listen to the first part as I did not put the whole passage up on the screen because I love my slide people. John 8, verse 1, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, The teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Now stop for a moment and think about what that meant for her. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. The Pharisees didn't care about the woman. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who's never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Please don't miss the order here in what Jesus says to her. I do not condemn you. You are welcome here in my presence, this moment, as you are right now. I love you. And now, in light of this truth, I want you to go live and grow in the freedom to not continue sinning anymore. Not if you promise to get your act together and not sin anymore, I won't condemn you either. It's very important that we keep the same order that Jesus used. Don't reverse that, right? I'm glad you clapped then, because at the risk of being very pointed here, if you think that someone needs to look better, or dress better, or smell better, or use better language, or act better, or do anything better before it's okay for them to be in this church on a Sunday morning, then you have missed the loving heart of Jesus that welcomed sinners into his presence. Jesus' own half-brother, James, wrote to early Christians about this very thing in chapter 2 of his epistle. James writes, my dear brother and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor. Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? All right? And if I twist that knife to a bit more of a self-righteous angle, if you admit that it's okay for any sinner to come to church, but then you say that you can't come anymore to worship because it's just too distracting or too disturbing or too unpleasant, then you're comparing your sin to theirs. And your eyes are no longer on the one who left the perfection of heaven to come be in the midst of our sin and show us his love. People did and still do change around Jesus, but their rough edges are smoothed out in and by and through his love and grace, not forcibly removed before they can get to him. All right? All right. Okay, back to clarifying belong. Do we welcome everyone? Yes. Do we affirm everything? No. Third, do we believe that for a person to belong to the family of God means there was a definite decision to believe the gospel accept the eternal salvation from sin that's offered in Christ, and follow Jesus. Yes, absolutely, we believe that. Do we believe that everyone we welcome has already made that decision and is also therefore immediately eligible to serve or lead or teach others? No, certainly not, okay? We want to build relationships with people. We want you to build relationships with each other. It's hard to love each other and trust each other when we don't know each other, isn't it? We need each other. God designed us, and he designed Christianity that way. That's why we also have relationship principles at CF. We have actual biblical guidelines for maintaining and restoring relationships with one another. You can find those on our website, or you can pick up one of the handy wallet cards that may still be around here, all right? Okay, so I think I have covered, finally, all of my word snob requirements at this point. Belong for us at CF Paris, and hopefully for any believer anywhere, means we always try to see and accept and treat people like Jesus did, either to inspire them as a brother and sister in Christ to love him more, or to inspire those outside the family of God to see that his life-changing love is real. Amen. All right? Our second core value is believe, right? We think that the more a person feels like they belong at CF, the longer they're likely to stay around and hear and experience the truth and come to more deeply believe in the power of the gospel. And that's not just because they sit in worship or they hear preaching. That's because they are amongst the people of God, right? In Romans 10, 13 to 14, Paul writes, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him unless to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" Okay? Please note that that says someone tells them, not the pastor tells them. All right? The more anyone is welcomed and encouraged and engaged and taught and modeled and discipled by the family of God, the more likely they come to believe that the gospel is true and that it really changes everything. Now, why do we talk so much about the gospel? It's because we believe it is the focal point of the whole story of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16, the other 3:16, in the Bible, says all scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what's true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The Old Testament is beautiful, and it is God-inspired, and it is useful to teach us what is true, because it shows us the greatness and the faithfulness of God, and it points us to man's desperate need for a Savior that's revealed to us in the gospel. Yes. Right? The New Testament, from Acts onward, points us back to the incredible story of the gospel and teaches us what is most true of us in Christ and how followers of Jesus should live today in light of that truth. We need the whole Bible. So what is the gospel then? And how and why do we believe it changes everything? I'm going to sum it up in this way. The gospel is that God himself has come to rescue and renew creation in and through the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. All right? Why does creation, which includes you and me, need rescuing? Because of sin. All right, let's talk about that for a moment, because in order to rightly understand the gospel and its good news, we really do have to have a right understanding of sin. Yeah. Pastor Brandon mentioned this even earlier. Sin is making everything about me, right? Sin is living life my way for my fame and glory instead of living God's way for God. The Bible says we've all sinned, which means we all really need the gospel. We desperately need Jesus to rescue us from the penalty and the effects of sin. And when we repent, we change our mind and we believe the truth about who God is and what he's accomplished and what is now true of us. Then by faith, we believe that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has secured our rescue and restored us to a right relationship with God the Father. Right? The good news is that now for us, every area of life can begin to be restored back to the way God designed it to be. That's how the gospel changes everything, okay? Think with me for just a moment about all the many things the Bible says were accomplished and restored on your behalf and my behalf by Jesus' perfect life, death, and resurrection. This is not even all of them. John 5:24 says, you won't be judged by God, and you've crossed over from death into eternal life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you have a new identity in Christ. You're a new creation, and the old you is gone. Romans 5:1 says, you have peace with God. Romans 8:1 and 2 says, there's no condemnation for you, and you're free from the law of sin and death. Ephesians 1 says, you've been adopted by God as a son or daughter. Colossians 3 says, you died with Christ, and you were raised with Christ, and your life is now hidden and secure with him. 1 John tells us that we are dearly loved by God. And the book of Revelation tells us that our accuser, Satan's power, will be destroyed by God, and our restored home will be forever with God. That is all very good news, church. Right? The gospel is not just an ancient story about God's son dying on a cross 2,000 years ago. The good news is much better than that. It is a past, present, and future reality. We said this before, I'll say it again. The gospel has saved us from the penalty of sin, and the gospel is saving us from the power of sin, and the gospel will save us from the presence of sin. All right? Sin has been put to death. And through the power of Christ's Holy Spirit living in you and living in me, we can today increasingly live the life that we were created to live. And there's a day coming when Jesus returns to put away all sickness and all sin and all destruction. Everything will be restored to the way God originally created it. Amen. The gospel has changed and is still changing, and will ultimately change everything, C.F. Paris. That's what we celebrate every Sunday together. That's what we want to keep growing to believe more and more deeply together in every area of our lives. And in that growing belief that the gospel changes everything, we want to live lives every day, wherever we are, that make those around us feel the welcoming love of Christ. Yes. And inspires others to begin to believe the good news of the gospel can be true for them too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Now, folks, if there's anything that I have said today that you don't understand or agree with, or you just want to go deeper into, I'm asking you and inviting you to please let me know. All right, let's talk about it over tacos. I love those. All right? And if you're feeling at all confused or overwhelmed by the idea of living this way, please do not miss being here next week. And Pastor Brandon talks about our third core value and the process of becoming more like our wonderful Jesus. I have the privilege of barging in his office door routinely to talk this stuff over with him. And Brandon's patience and his passion for becoming like Jesus has never failed to encourage me and spur me onward in this journey, okay? Yeah. So stay warm this week, and we will see you again next Sunday. Let's all stand together for the benediction. The words of St. Paul again in Colossians 2. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Amen. And God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.